This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Continues in the air, especially for Southwest Airlines, primarily Southwest Airlines flights and the people who are flying on that carrier. And the stories that are emerging from Buffalo, more people found dead, but also stories of people helping others. And Mega Millions, did you win? What a way to kickstart your new year. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, getting those resolutions ready. Coming up on this show, by the way, some of the best of the best. Coming up, a conversation with Christine Hassings. She has an interesting story to share. Hope has a cold nose about veterans and dogs and the hope that people get from dogs, because boy, now more than ever, the isolation, the anxiousness, we certainly saw that with a couple of years through the pandemic, and there is something about dogs, and her story is wonderful and the stories that she tells as well. Plus, Edward Dodge joins us. We had a conversation with him this year about being a world traveler. He took his family to Africa when you could actually not have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to go and look at the mountains and the streams. He talks about how untouched that was, but then says at the end, really, it's about family and connectedness. Boy, again, more than ever. So you might be hitting the after Christmas sales. You might be thinking of resolutions. You might be working. I'm not sure. Hopefully you're not on any Southwest flights, because it has been disastrous. And you already know that, we've talked about that. Passengers who are booked with Southwest this week, the conclusion is it's not good. Right? I mean, you're trying to either get refunds, you're trying to get re-racked, trying to get on another airline. Well, I mean, it's a complete meltdown. I mean, look, the CEO referred to it as that. And that, I mean, this transportation secretary, Pete Buttigieg, has taken the airline to task. But what does that mean? Hopefully it means people get refunds, get their luggage, all the things that are happening. I mean, it's outrageous what's happened. And it's because not just of the weather, it's because of their systems that are antiquated. So many of the flights, 90% of the flights on Wednesday that were canceled were Southwest Airlines. Southwest Airlines has canceled almost 16,000 flights since the winter weather began disrupting air travel on December 22nd. But so much of this, again, is not just the weather. The airline is struggling to unwind itself from cancellations that started with the winter storm, but then it's this software and manual processes that are used to reassign flight crews who, for safety reasons, are listed in the number of hours they may work. So they're having issues. They're having issues with employees not showing up for work. They have had staffing issues, and this is a very big problem. So other U.S. airlines are flying in the same weather conditions. They've recovered from the storm disruptions. American Airlines, United, for example, they've capped prices on some routes served by Southwest to make their flights more accessible, actually, to stranded passengers, because they know Denver is terrible. They're leading the way in the number of cancellations from Southwest. Then Chicago Midway, Dallas Love Field, which is the hub, Las Vegas, Nashville International. So if you're flying Southwest and you have anything coming up on Southwest, you already know this, but boy, you better check it, because it's crazy. The cleanup that they have to do, this travel disaster, the winter storm delays, the aggressive flight scheduling, and the outdated infrastructure. I mean, that is a triple whammy, and I am so grateful that I did not have to travel this holiday, I have to tell you. And I feel for those of you like Jake, who sent me an email, our Jake, who's emailed the show forever out of Austin, Texas, saying that he actually got trapped in Denver. He was going to meet family for a skiing vacation, but then all were supposed to come back. And so they rented two cars, I think, was to be able to get back to Austin. So absolutely crazy. All right, then you have the winter storm and what's happened in Buffalo and the good-hearted nature of so many people in Buffalo. But Buffalo, of course, got historic and brutal winter storm that buried the region. It left more than 24 people dead, and the death toll keeps climbing. It's not good. I mean, is it going to hit 50? I mean, right now it's at 34. The National Guard is actually going door to door in Buffalo because they're afraid they may find some people who actually froze to death in their houses. They found bodies in cars, etc., and now it's, you know, combing through some other areas. But like I mentioned, there's so many great stories. There's a story about one woman this Buffalo woman, who saved a man from severe frostbite after getting him out of the storm. She was pleading in a Facebook live stream for help, and she was blow drying his hands, everything, to melt the ice off of his blistered red hands. And then she used a grass cutter to take his rings off because she was worried, right? Finally got emergency responders, not initially for help, didn't get that at first. And she was worried. She was scared. She was, you know, his body was changing too much from when she had taken him in. And luckily, eventually there was a response. But thanks to her, this man is alive because she heard the cries for help during the deadly storm. So her actions saved his life. And, you know, hats off for that, again, for Autry, Miss Autry, for doing what she did, because it takes people like that and the courage to do that to make a difference, because you can imagine the panic and how she felt. We got a couple of quick sports notes here. One, Miami Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa suffered a concussion on Sunday. You know, there was so much made about concussions. So he suffered a concussion against the Green Bay Packers, and head coach Mike McDaniel, of course, keeps being asked about his status for this next game at the New England Patriots, and he's just saying it's uncertain. They're moving forward with Teddy Bridgewater, another quarterback, as the starter. He was diagnosed with his second concussion this season. Supposedly he's improving, but with these concussion protocols and with some of the things that have happened in the past and what's going on in the NFL and with concussions, it's always worrisome. And we remember seeing him and his hands, you know, that were contorted after he had his last concussion, and the concern over that, and just how awful that was. So that's one sports story. The other one is about a super athlete, Luka Doncic. I would have loved to be at this game. How many Mavericks games did I go? The Mavericks played the Knicks. They took it into a thrilling overtime game. They won the other night, 126-121. And for the 23-year-old, he recorded 60 points, career-high 21 rebounds and 10 assists. So a 60-21-10. It's the first time in NBA history that a player has reached that kind of a stat line. So think about that. Think about all the teams, all the incredible players, and what the Slovenian star did. He scored 10 points in the final minute of regulation and added 7 more in overtime to pull off an improbable win. In fact, many people had already left, headed for their cars to go home, thinking that the Mavericks had lost this game. And sure enough, they missed some history, because it was incredible what he was able to do, and he sealed the deal at the tail end with the win in overtime. So congratulations to him. He said afterwards he just needs a beer. On that note, Christine Hassings is up next. Stay with us.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
I can't tell you how excited I am to have Christine Hassing on with us. She's written a book called Hope Has a Cold Nose. And wait till you hear the story behind this book and the book itself. Christine, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, it's my honor. Thank you.
Tell me what led you to write this book. Why did you write the book in the first place?
So I was in class with a veteran and a service dog. And we were given an assignment to create something we hadn't done before. And writing life stories was not new to me. I had been volunteering at a local hospice writing life stories for a couple of years. And just prior to meeting the veteran, I had actually been writing letters for a dear friend who was dying of cancer. And we were writing letters for her to leave to her two sons. And so anyway, I asked the veteran if I could write his life story. And what made that new for me is I had not written a life story for somebody who was not knowingly dying. And this veteran very graciously said yes. And so I wrote his story. And in his telling the story, he shared with me a statistic I did not know at the time, that 22 veterans commit suicide a day. And it just absolutely broke my heart to think that there was 22 souls that reached a point where they lost their sense of hope. And so I felt called, inspired, whatever might be the word, to write a book and write life stories of hope and healing and dignity found with the unconditional acceptance and love of a service dog.
So in the book, you really dive into this, talking about matching humans with the right dog, the right service dog, and you tell these stories. Tell us more about the book.
Yeah, so there's 23 life stories. They all have, you know, the common theme of PTSD, but I like to reframe it as pain, trauma, sorrow, or despair, because then I think that takes away any chance of a stereotype when we hear the acronym PTSD. And pain, trauma, sorrow, despair is something we all know at least one aspect of at least once in our lives. And the other theme is the unconditional listening and the unconditional acceptance, because a dog has no judgment. They can't speak back. They can listen and love. And each of the stories, they have that common theme, but each of them are different. One, because they're each individual life story. But my approach with each person was simply to listen. And so some people wanted to talk about their deployment. Others wanted to talk about how their life had changed once they got their service dog. And others wanted to share things from their childhood as well. So each story is unique with a common theme.
Tell us one of the stories. I mean, it's probably hard to pick out your favorite, but tell us one of the stories.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much time do we have for all 23? I will share, there's one story that comes to mind immediately. It was a gentleman who had been a veteran during the Vietnam War. And when he was serving in Vietnam, he had a canine dog that also served with him, who was the dog to sniff out harm. And he returned to the United States, and unfortunately was not able to bring that dog back with him. And that broke his heart and left him very sad, feeling very guilty, along with the traumas of his experiences during that time. So he lived with anxiety, nightmares, you know, a lot of the things that we hear when we hear PTSD. And about 30 years later, he got involved in his community with building a replica of the Vietnam Wall that they could travel to different events, different engagements, and share that wall. So he was on a tour with this wall, and he happened to cross paths with Northwest Battle Buddies in Oregon, or Washington, I should say, Washington State. And he happened to know one of the people that works in that organization, who came up and showed him a picture of a puppy and was asking his advice on how to train this dog, because this person knew this veteran sharing the story had experiences with training dogs from his time in the service. So this gentleman shared, and a few months later their paths crossed again, and again he was shown a picture of this dog and the progress, hearing how he was doing. And fast forward about another year, so I'd say about 2 years, because that's usually what it takes to train a dog, he went to a fundraising event with Northwest Battle Buddies, and he was a speaker, which was really hard for him because he, again, with his anxiousness, wasn't comfortable, but still did that. And at the end of his speech, the founder of Northwest Battle Buddies came up to him and pointed to the back of the room, and the dog that he had been seeing pictures of was given to him that night to be his service dog. And he started training and found a lot of healing from the dog that he couldn't bring to the United States with him, found a lot of healing on his journey with PTSD, and found a deeper bond with his children because they gained an understanding of a story he had been able to talk about until he shared it for the book.
Wow, what a beautiful story. And there's so many other stories, too, that just they'll just make you smile and get you teary-eyed and everything else. How did you find these stories?
It was, I would say, word of mouth, reaching out. You know, so the first veteran connected me with three additional individuals. I would reach out to organizations, and there would be one person who would want to graciously share their story. They would maybe know somebody or not, and it just became kind of through a two-year journey. One of the things, I had a goal. I wanted at least 22 stories because of the symbolism. of 22 lives a day. And just before our world pandemic hit, right after it hit, I gained the last 5 stories of my goal to complete the book. And I always felt like that was a sign that the book needed to be out there not only for the 22 lives a day, but for what everybody was suddenly starting to understand about isolation, anxiousness, and some of those things that I think a lot of the people in the world are starting to experience over the last couple of years.
Yeah, wow. Good for you. What do you hope people take away from reading Hope Has a Cold Nose, which you can get on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, I would like to inspire an awareness of a journey with PTSD, foster a compassion for that journey, but also, raise awareness about the holistic healing effect of dogs, service dogs, therapy dogs, emotional support dogs. But in all of those ways, there's a lot of healing power in that. And also to foster a common, more of a, take away the judgment. I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Kate, is take away the judgment that we sometimes have when we hear certain acronyms, or we don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle somebody's pain from their trauma or those things. And foster unconditional listening. I think that was one of the things that so many of the veterans said, as they said, my dog just listened. I can tell them anything. And they said, even if I have someone close to me who really tries to listen and understand, for the veteran, they're still judging themselves. And so they're still expecting the person they're talking to judge them. Where a dog just looks at them with those loving eyes and holds absolutely no judgment. So I would also like to foster us unconditionally listening. We don't have to accept the story, but I think if we listen, we start the healing process for people too.
Oh, so well said. Again, the name of the book is Hope Has a Cold Nose. Christine Hassing, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, thank you. Definitely my privilege.
And thanks to all of you for listening to this hour of the show. Make it count, everybody.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Southwest Airlines reporting 62% of their flights are canceled today. Thousands of travelers are even struggling to find their luggage after mass cancellations. Like this passenger searching for his bags at Baltimore Washington International Airport.
One of my bags is in Denver, and one of them is apparently in this sea of luggage.
Southwest announced plans to fly only one-third of its schedule in the upcoming days nationwide as it struggles with a company meltdown. Southwest has canceled nearly 16,000 flights since last Thursday when a massive winter storm hit the U.S. FlightAware reports 2,800 total canceled flights across the country this afternoon. The Biden administration is renewing its commitment to free former Marine Paul Whelan from a Russian prison, today marking 4 years since Whelan's detention in Russia. He's serving a 16-year sentence on espionage charges that the U.S. says are baseless. Jeremy Scott, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at pestworld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Edward Dodge is in our virtual green room. His book is Family, a family doctor's memoir of life in Africa and the U.S. and many more. Boy, he has got some great stories as we talked off the air and has definitely traveled to a lot of interesting places. Edward, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
So talk about what made you write this. What made you decide, I'm going to get all these adventures down?
All right. Well, I wrote this book in 2018, and I'm in my 80s now. And I thought, you know, I want to leave something for my family, my descendants, not beyond my children, but my grandchildren, great-grandchildren, so that they'll know a little bit about my life. So that was my incentive to write. But then, as always, I like to share information about what I've learned along the way, information about health and so forth. So it's a combination of memoir and there's the health information intertwined and things I've learned along the way.
Tell us about some of those stories. What have you learned along the way? Give us a couple of your powerful lessons.
Well, I grew up in Angola, Portuguese West Africa, and we lived up in the Dembush, which was a primitive area back in 1936. I was born in 36, and actually it was in 48 when we lived in the Dembush. I was 12 years old. And we saw wild game. We saw buffalo on the hillsides, like black Angus cattle, just grazing on the hillsides. And my dad would take a day off of his missionary work to go hunting, so we'd have some meat for our table. Yeah, he had a good garden always. So we had adventures I'd hike 10 kilometers or more on these hunting hikes. And when he wasn't, I would go hunting on my own. know, that was the, and then you know what? When I came back to the States after age 14, I have never picked up a gun to hunt again. My hunting was done in my youth, and I've never been since then. So that was one interesting experience. Then in now, in 48, we traveled across Africa from the west coast of Africa, Luanda, and Angola, the capital city, to Beira in Mozambique, the eastern coast of Africa. And we go across, at that time, many poorly charted areas, just sand, dirt roads, and we got stuck and had broken planks and all sorts of things. But we made it. We traveled in a family van, and Dad and Mom were in front, and I was 12 years old, and he would let me drive at times. I was just coming with him. And then I had a sister 2 years younger than me, and then a younger brother and baby sister, and they lay back on our suitcases that were covered with a soft mattress. So they were, they made the trip lying down. And it was an interesting trip. We crossed many rivers with ferries and Rhodesia, which was Zimbabwe, was then called Rhodesia. We had a 2 month furlough in Rhodesia. And so we set up in the Nyanga Mountains, and that was an interesting experience. We just dabbled in the pools of the streams coming down the mountainside. We were in the cabin. And so it's just lots of enjoyable experiences like that.
Wow, and what a gift to your children, but all of us listening to this that are really wanting to go on our bucket list to Africa, and you got to experience it in a whole different way, so untouched, where it was just like this trip with your family, and oh yeah, we found, you know, this stream, and then there we were in the mountain. That is an amazing experience, which of course today people would spend a lot of money to get to do what you did, so you realize that how lucky you are, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, you couldn't duplicate that today. I mean, Africa has become a much different place than it was in 1948.
Yeah.
Lots of roads. But we encountered leopards and other wild game on that trip, too. So, yes, it was an experience. And, my mother homeschooled us with the Winnetka school system out of Winnetka, Illinois. And as far as to keep up with our school work, she had us keep a diary of everything we did during that trip across Africa and the 2 months in Rhodesia. And the result was that a handwritten book called Trip Across Africa, I believe, something like that, that my sister and I produced at age 12 and 10. And I still have that handwritten book. It wasn't published anywhere else, but it was a very good experience. It tells about our experiences on that trip.
Wow. How fun. What a fun memory. And then what was it like when you made the leap to the U.S.?
Well, that was kind of a culture shock. We came back. My dad was appointed to be a secretary for African Europe for the Methodist Board of Missions. They were Methodist missionaries. And so we went to the New York area, and we lived in Ridgewood, New Jersey, which was sort of a bedroom community. People lived there and took the Erie Railroad into New York. And it was a culture shock for me. I was this kid from Africa, and I didn't know anything about American sports. I read about baseball. I knew about baseball, but I didn't know anything about any other sports. For the first time in gym that I was doing the basketball, I cradled it in my arms and ran down to the other goal. But I didn't dribble. I just ran with it and tossed it up. And everybody in the gym howled. It was so funny.
I can visualize that. Yes. Wow. And then you go from those childhood experiences to becoming a doctor. What made you become a doctor?
Well, you know, that's an interesting story, too. Dr. Kemp was our mission doctor in Angola. And I always admired him, but I fainted at the sight of blood. I figured I could never be a doctor. I majored in biology. I loved biology at college, and I planned to become a biology teacher. But I was critical of one of the last courses I took and to get certified as a teacher. I was critical of our head of department in the department, and I burned my bridges. And I thought, well, what can I do with my biology if I can't teach? And I said, well, maybe I can overcome this thinking problem and become a doctor. So I had a study for medical school, took an extra year, qualified, went to Indiana University. My freshman year, another student from Taylor was 2 years ahead of me. He was a junior at medical school. Invited me to go into a surgery with him, and he had approval of his doctors. So he taught me how to wash and gown up and everything, and we went into the operating room, and they were doing this orthopedic operation, sawing on a major leg bone, and blood was dirty from the leg bone, and I fainted right away, and they had to drag me out of the operating room, and I was fine, and I never fainted at the sight of blood after that. That cured me.
And certainly as a doctor, we'd be remiss not to ask you this. And again, we're speaking with Edward Dodge, family doctor's memoir of life in Africa and the U.S. and many more. You can get it on Amazon or wherever great books are sold, by the way. What is it that we should watch out for these days? Boy, it is like a minefield when it comes to health and wellness and doctor visits and everything in between.
Well, you know, medicine has changed enormously since I graduated. It's now become most doctors now work for a hospital system or so forth, but they're not individual solo doctors as was the case when I graduated. I was not a solo doctor. I was in a small, three or four man group. And it's changed a great deal. Now the doctors have torn loyalties, I think, to the patient, but also to the organization they work for, and that makes it tough. It's a minefield, I agree. And I think all you can do is find a family doctor that you trust and do your best. One of the things that I learned in the course of my practice through the years, you know, patients have their own healing power. 75% of the illnesses we encounter can be prevented by just the simple healthy lifestyle with changes in their lives. And they have more inner healing power than we realize. And I bring that out in the book, too. So I really recommend that highly. Do your very best to live so you don't have to go see the doctor.
Boy, isn't that true. Do what you can, absolutely. We have like 30 seconds left. What do you hope people take away from reading this book?
Well, I hope they enjoy it, first, as a story. And then secondly, I also emphasize the very crucial importance of family. I think family is the bedrock of our society. And the crucial importance of family, all you can to hold your families together and nourish your family. That's the message.
Love it. Edward Dodge, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Randall Stevens joins us, and he's written a book called Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl. Randall, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you. I'm more than happy to talk to you.
So you don't know this, but I love owls. I'm just drawn to owls, and I think a lot of people are. I've recently even had one fly into my backyard. But this is very specific. Snow owls are beautiful. What drew you to writing this story?
A friend of mine called me in 2010. High school friend, and reminded me of the 40th class reunion, and I hadn't been to one yet, so I kind of felt like, okay, I better go. But he also told me that we have a high school webpage, and so I went on the webpage, and I started writing things that myself and some of my friends got up to, and of course, I embellished them just a little bit. And the response was overwhelming. All of my classmates said, you need to write a book. You need to write a book. And that's the first time I'd ever even thought about writing anything. And then later on, that happened the first part of 2010. December of 2010, my son called me and said, Dad, I have some ideas for a book. Let's write a book. So I thought, okay, you don't have to ask me 3 times. Here we go. So we got started. My son helped me do some research, and then his business took off. And he called me like in March of 2011 and said, Dad, I just can't help you no more. I don't have the time. It's, you know, you're going to have to do it on your own. So I continued with it. And this is my first book. And the reason I went ahead and wrote the book is because it fit into my right brain. When I was a kid on a farm, I was raised on a 2,000 acre farm and ranch. That's where my imagination developed, because I was out there on a tractor all by myself with no cab, no air conditioner, no radio, no power steering, just me and the Texas Panhandle horizon and skies. Texas Panhandle doesn't have any trees unless you plant them in your yard. And that's where my imagination took off. You know, I rode around in that big field on that tractor all day long, just making up stories in my head, imagining things. And I still have that childhood imagination. I have the mind of a 10-year-old, the body of, well, it's more than 10. But
wow.
That's kind of how it all got started. Now, when I was in school, and I had to work hard to do this first book, because when I went to school, I went to school to make friends and have fun. I didn't go study to learn. I was a C-minus and F student and just got by grace, I guess. But it caught up with me in high school, because when it was time to graduate, or the beginning of my senior year, the principal called me in to his office, which wasn't unusual because I spent more time there than I did in the classroom anyway. And he said, Randall, we have a problem. I said, you're a senior and you want to graduate, correct? Well, of course. He said, well, you've only passed one semester of English. And so my senior year, when all my classmates were having an easy schedule, I took 3.5 classes of English.
Wow.
Yeah. And only passed it with some help from my girlfriends and the grace of God. And I actually started learning English sentence structures and all that stuff in college. And the only experience I ever had of writing was writing essays in college and writing research papers in graduate school. And so here I am, kind of like Jack London. I'm reading and doing a lot of just reading and research of how people write. But I also have this little grammar book that I'm studying so I can write sentences and, put thoughts together on paper. And I guess the biggest help to me in writing this, typing out this book, was spell check. If it wasn't for spell check, I'd be lost.
Wow. So you do this book. What a great story. I love the story of you being out there for hours on the tractor and your imagination just growing. I mean, what a gift that is. So now it leads you to the book, Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl. Tell us about the story.
Okay. Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl is a mysterious and magical action-packed adventure fantasy. It's set in the 19th century, and there is a shadow war where Samuel's father, Pietro, is wounded in a historic battle, and he receives a land grant. And he and his princess bride, Ella, they relocate near the enchanted Black Sea. And Samuel is born in a cottage near the haunted southern forest. Now, deep in that forest, there's a bog. And in the bog, there's mysterious shadow fog that transforms animals in the forest into dangerous and deadly shadow creatures. Now, as a child, Samuel and his best friend, Teddy, they find solace and serenity in the forest. And Samuel talks to animals, listens to the singing river, and carefully stay one step ahead of the shadow monsters that are also in that haunted southern forest. Now, when the shadow creature's aggression escalates, Samuel befriends an old man named Nikolai of the Caves. He's an eccentric time-traveling wizard, and he has an old hound named Wolfkiller. And he also meets befriends the legendary Snow Owl, which they will all help him in the battles that are coming. Now, Samuel's childhood sweetheart, Katia, receives a magical crystal just as the cosmic battle erupts on Devil's Island. And Samuel receives one also. Now, with very little training, they use their newly enhanced powers to battle these monsters. And only time will tell whether they can fend them off long enough to embrace an extraordinary destiny.
Wow, what a fascinating story. What do you hope people take away from reading Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl?
I hope they're inspired by the story, because it is a struggle against good and bad, light and darkness. I kind of like the way, if you will allow, Kirkus Review, you know, they're the big hitters when it comes to book reviews.
Sure.
Their review said this: this debut historical fantasy sees a Russian family in the dark forces in the wilds near the Black Sea. For his series opener, Stevens offers a fantasy focusing on primal good and evil that should enhance fans of The Lord of the Rings. The first volume's magical crescendo should create loyal readers who will return for more fantasy tale-styled grandeur.
Ooh, high that praise. Nice. Yeah.
That
sums it up in the way you were very descriptive in talking about the story. We just have like 30 seconds left or so. Will you do another book?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I've already finished book two. I'm going back through it, kind of developing it and tweaking it to make it, you know, better. And book two is probably going to be called something like Samuel and the Dark Prince. And as much action and adventure as there is in book one, there's more in book two.
Ooh, well, we look forward to that. For this book, Samuel and the Legendary Snow Owl, you can pick it up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Randall Stevens, thanks for sharing your story.
Oh, you're very welcome, and thank you for allowing me to.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.